solo adventure awaits you.
This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
In this most delicious episode of Solo Travel Talk, Astrid Clements is going to talk about food tours on your solo travel excursions. I'm producer Catherine. Food tours have come up in a few past episodes, and they can provide such a unique touch to your trip. So we're dedicating a whole episode to these fun, fabulous food tours. Astrid, food tours have come up in your episodes about dining, of course, but then it also came up in the cultural literacy episode as well. And that's really the heart of it, isn't it? That food is a way to plug into the place that you're visiting.
Definitely. What they call now, or what a whole new travel genre or aspect of travel and tourism is culinary and food tourism, which in the last 10 years, this type of tourism has just grown explosively. And I think it was really kind of, I guess we'd have to credit Julia Child as being the first person that really started advocating, understanding different foods from different cultures and how they relate, and just what a wonderful experience it is to immerse yourself in the food of a particular place. And I guess we'd also have to make note that all these celebrity chefs now around the world and these fabulous restaurants around the world are also making culinary or food tourism something that people do to travel. I'll cite one example I'll never forget. I was in New Orleans about 4 years ago, and I was at a restaurant called Mother's. And this is a restaurant, it's down home, New Orleans, cooking that, oh my gosh, soul food extraordinaire. Well, it's probably been open 100 years. It's. I think it's still owned by the same family. Not sure, but the same type of food that they prepared 100 years ago. And I was in line, and this couple from Seattle was right in front of me, and they had the menu, and they were looking at etouffee and gumbo and all the different things. And they said, well, and they looked at me and said, could you help me, blah, 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 what should I, sauce pecan, and I shared with them which I thought that they should do, blah, blah, blah. And I noticed they had an accent. I said, well, where are y'all from? And they said, oh, well, we're from Seattle. And I said, oh, gosh, you're from Seattle? And you know to come to Mother's? And they said, oh, let me tell you, we have come to New Orleans strictly to eat. And this is our first place, but we have come here to experience the food of New Orleans. And I told them, I said, y'all are going to have a fabulous trip, because in New Orleans, there's hardly any bad food, because there's so many restaurants and so much has been focused in that culture around dining and good food that a restaurant can't stay in business if their food isn't good. So, but that illustrates the point. I mean, a lot of people are just traveling to experience the food. And last, I have to give him a plug, because he's really the star of it all, is Anthony Bourdain. I mean, he really has driven home the point of food and how it relates to culture and, you know, really the joy of travel, really, and to experiencing it through food. So, food tours, basically, they are a guided, professionally guided tour that really do experience the unique food and beverage scene. I think, personally, it's a great way to taste local ingredients, unique food dishes. A lot of the tours, you're able to buy artisan food products. Again, you learn something about the history and culture of a region, and particularly how the cuisine, you know, how it evolved. Like in Venice, I learned when I was on the food tour there, you know, Venice has very different Italian food from the rest of Italy, because first of all, it's isolated, and they don't really have the agriculture around them. So seafood is the main thing. And because they were on the spice routes from, you know, Turkey and Istanbul, a lot of spices. So their whole food scene is very different than the rest of Italy. And it really hasn't changed much in the last 500 years what they eat. And there are no cars there. I mean, Venice, you know, really is kind of a really special place. But I got to understand more about Venetians, the culture, and everything through the food. So it's great. But basically, food tours are typically 2 to 4 hours. Usually, they're like 5 to 15, 16 people at the most. They're either during lunch, dinner, or sometimes what they call a happy hour. All day sometimes, and sometimes multi-day tours. Whoa. Where you do cooking classes, you go to markets, you have lectures. I mean, it's really like I said, some people strictly go on a vacation to learn about the food, and so this is another type of food tour. Typically, here again, cost $35 to $100, 5 to 7 restaurants. All the food is included. A lot of times the beverages, whether alcohol or non-alcohol, are included. But if you want to have more than one, usually you have to pay for that. Walking, most of them are geared to be walking in a certain zone. But some do, you travel either by a small van or you know, or whatever. 1 to 2 miles, so it's not too bad, and you get to walk between stops, so it helps you digest the food. They're usually rain or shine, so make sure you bring a poncho in your backpack or your tote or whatever, a little small umbrella. And if it's, you know, really sunny, bring that sun hat, because if you're doing it in the afternoon, it's really sunny. Whoa. It's it can kind of spoil it a little bit. But basically, it's a great place, a great way to explore a city or a place, eat great food, drink wonderful alcoholics or non-alcoholic drinks. You meet very interesting people on these tours. Usually these are, like birds of a feather flock together. People who really like food, or want to know about food, they are usually just a jovial, fun-loving, passionate group of people who love to eat. And it's fun to be around those people. They ask all kinds of questions, and I mean, they just get into everything. And plus, you also get the unique opportunity to tour kitchens, to meet the chefs, visit markets. So, you know, you get a really focused way to understand the food, how it relates to the culture and everything.
So let's get a little bit more specific and talk about the different types of tours that are out there. You started a little bit about this, but let's talk about some of the food tours where you visit a lot of different restaurants, or you go from establishment to establishment.
Okay, well, I'm going to approach this just a little different. I'm going to kind of give you a broad range of all the different kinds of food tours that there are now in the world. I mean, it is amazing. This foodie explosion has really, it's just caught fire. So I'll use New York City as an example. There are over 50 different types of food tours in New York City. I mean, it's amazing. And the bigger the cities, the more different types that will be offered. But some of the traditional are either you'll have small plates and appropriate alcoholic or non-alcoholic beverage pairings with, you know, slow plate appetizers and different
or
things.
Or tapas or
yeah,
that kind of,
yeah. Exactly. But they'll have a different twist, you know, the different restaurants you'll go to, dealing with it, whether it's spices or things are fried versus boiled and this kind of thing. Then you've got your progressive dinner structure, which this is, these are typically the ones I like the most, because it's you basically eat your way through a dinner at five or seven different restaurants. You start out with maybe aperitif or some kind of drink, and then you go to another place for an appetizer, and then another place for a soup, and you know, it's just great. By the time you get to the main dish, you're so full. But I really enjoy it because, you know, you get to eat all different kinds of food that the locals eat. Then you've got your specific types of cuisine, like the Italian food tour in New York City, or the Chinese food tour in New York City. So they'll focus on a specific type of cuisine. That's another type. Then you've got certain food category types, like dessert walking tours.
Oh, boy.
They have one in New York called Cupcakes, Cookies, and Gelato. Now, let me tell you, by the end of that tour, you're going to be, your sugar, it's going to be like, oh, Lord. But, you know, lots of people are into desserts, and they will just, they can't wait to go on something like this. Pizza walking tours. There are lots of people all over the world that love pizza. They have those. Then the wonderful tours, the wine tours now, and those are getting better and better. They not only, you're tasting all different kinds of wines, but they're pairing it with the right food and the right small plates. Oh, that is just so, and those a lot of times aren't walking. You typically go in small vans or small groups for those. Also, here, it's really new, is craft cocktails and pub crawls with the craft beers. Savannah, Charleston, you know, lots of places have those. And New Orleans have all those, and they're becoming very popular. In fact, New Orleans now has a craft cocktail festival where they have contests and they have internationally famous chefs that do craft cocktails, and they win the International Craft Cocktail Award for that year. I mean, it's really getting to be, I didn't know alcohol could be that creative. So, and then you've got your celebrity chefs. There's some tours that you go to several restaurants that are celebrity chefs. So that's really fun, especially if you can go back in the kitchen and they'll show you how they dice mushrooms to make them whatever, you know what I'm saying? So, and you get to take pictures with the chefs, and so they have that. And then they, you know, you actually can take a private food tour. Now, if you really, you know, those are the most expensive, but if you want to get back in the real kitchen and you want to go to certain types of places, you can have these tours created for you, which I think is also very interesting. Those are kind of broad overview now of how explosive this industry is and how many different types of food tours there are. I personally started taking food tours only about 3 years ago because, first of all, I'm not that into food. I don't cook. And so, you know, food was always just something that I ate. So I had the energy that I needed, you know, but I'm just not a real big eater. But when I eat, I really want good food. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want anything that's low quality and everything like that. So when I was traveling, I didn't really focus on it that much. I mean, I could get a good strong cup of coffee, and that could take me through, you know, two-thirds of my day sometime. But I guess since I've got older, now my daughter, she's a big foodie, and she's a great cook. I mean, I just learned something this weekend that typically you, when you grow up, you try to be what your mother wasn't to you. So this is, I guess, my daughter.
You're the non-cook that produced the great cook.
Yeah. Right. So, but she has turned me on to so many different cuisines and fusion of cuisines. And she lives in New Orleans, so we just go to all the great new restaurants. And I mean, she could be a food critic, really and truly. But I must say, she has really helped me appreciate and start exploring all of this with foods. So because of her influence and then watching Anthony Bourdain and everybody else talk about they come to those places just to eat, I thought, well, you know, I should explore that more. I need to expand my, you know, my consciousness. So I started taking food tours. And I've only taken, let's see, 7. I've been to one in Scottsdale, which was my first one. Then Savannah and Charleston, which were great. Venice, I just mentioned that. Marrakesh, Bangkok, and Hanoi. And I'm telling you, every one of them was good. Maybe one, I'd say, was kind of average. But they were all, I mean, I just loved them. I really did. I got a lot out of them in terms of understanding the place better, enjoying the food, knowing where to go eat afterwards, meeting some interesting people. You know, it was just great. It really, they are food tours. I mean, do it. Just do it. They are super. So I'm going to go through a couple of the tours that I've taken to kind of illustrate to you what they're like, why they are so enjoyable, and some of the takeaways in the event that you go to these places, because you definitely should take the tours that I'm talking about. Okay, the first one was Scottsdale, and I actually took this one because my husband was with me on this trip, and he loves to eat, okay? So I thought, well, this will show us where really to go eat in Scottsdale. I mean, of course, I did the internet research, and Scottsdale is a very upscale city, but a lot of it is new. And so I read about the Scottsdale food tour. It was called A Tale of Old Town, and it was produced by Arizona Food Tours, and it won the number one rated food tour in Arizona, and it was advertised, have fun and get full. So so I thought, well, my husband, at least I know he'll be happy with this and I won't be shopping. So we took the lunch tour, and it was really good because it focused on, or it was in Old Town. And, you know, Scottsdale was an old Western town. And that's how it started. It didn't end up being this great golf resort.
It hasn't always been golf courses, right?
Yeah, and, you know, real, we're all, you know.
Upper crusty.
Yeah, have retired there, et cetera. But so it was focused in Old Town. And this is an area where you've got a lot of art galleries. I mean, really good art galleries, and shopping, a lot of ethnic shopping, and it has the structure of old Scottsdale in there. So it was really good to be able to spend some time there and walk the streets, because we probably wouldn't have done it. We would have stayed, you know, at our fancy resort and all that kind of stuff, and maybe taken an Uber to this restaurant and, you know, gone to this upscale shopping area. But we wouldn't have, you know, walked along the streets of this older area of Scottsdale. My husband would have been out of there in an hour. So, but it was really a lot of fun. And what we went to 5 different restaurants. We started out at the restaurant called The Mission. And The Mission is the only restaurant that really has a really famous celebrity chef there. But it's in an old Spanish building, one of the first buildings in Scottsdale connected to the church, basically the mission. And it had a good vibe in there. Well, we had some kind of, you know, interesting taco and alcoholic drink, and you know, we were all learning each other's name and everything. But it was nice. I mean, I liked the first stop. So the next one, we went to a place called Bootleggers. Now, this was a brand new, large, really nice, I don't want to say beer hall, but it was a big place where craft beer was it. They had like, I don't know, 30 different craft beers on tap. And they specialized in, they'd get a couple of kegs, and once those were gone, they were gone. So, you know, if you really like beer, you could try all different kinds. Well, we got to try 5 different kinds of beers. I think we had a list of about 20, but you got to pick your beer, and then you had like a little small mini not hamburger, but some kind of...
like a slider kind of thing?
Yeah, it was a slider with it, and maybe some chips. It wasn't a lot to eat, but it was really interesting that we got to do 5 different beers. We got to pick it, and it's a very happening place in Scottsdale. Okay, then the next place we went to was called Malay's Thai Bistro. Now, when you think of Scottsdale, old Scottsdale, old town, you don't think of Thai food. Well, this place is one of the most popular local restaurants and with tourists in Scottsdale because the spring rolls are fantastic. The food is just fantastic, and it's very affordable. So we had Thai food. We had some kind of soup and a spring roll there to die for. I mean, I would have never thought we would have gone to a place like that. And if my husband and I would have had time, we would have gone back to that restaurant. Wow. It was so good. Then we went to Cowboy Chow's. Now, Cowboy Chow's is strictly Southwestern food. And we had some kind of meat and bean dish, which I'm not big on beans, but my husband loves beans. So that was a hit. And then we ended up at Super Chuck Sweet and Treats for some huge cupcakes. So my first experience was really good. My husband actually enjoyed it. We were stuffed.
As promised by the tagline.
Yeah. We met some very interesting people. And it was just a lot of fun. You know, we learned about Scottsdale, and I ended up going back to Old Town, drug my husband back, but he was very nice. He sat on the benches while I went out in and out of the shops and the art galleries. And it was definitely worth it. Yeah. So it was a great first experience. So then I took a solo driving adventure where I went from Miami to Maine. And so at 2 of my stops, I decided I had food tours on the agenda. I was going to try to do it in other areas, but it just never worked. So when I went to Savannah and Charleston, I wanted to do this food tour because, you know, I'm from Louisiana, grew up on very good Creole, Cajun, Deep South cuisine, and we eat well in this part of the world, okay? So, but I heard so much about the low country cooking, this type of Southern food. So I wanted to kind of, you know, see if it could hold its weight up to the kind of food that, you know, I grew up on. So this, you know, I thought this will be a great way for me to learn really something about the low country cuisine, you know, how it's different, how it's prepared, etc. In both of these tours, I'm telling you, they were great because, first of all, they're set in fabulous walking cities that are full of gorgeous architecture, gorgeous gardens. It's just the ambiance in those two southern cities are really for the movies, and that's why they've done so many movies there. But Hoon Calhoun he's one of the greatest food tour guides I know in America. He is from Charleston, from a prominent old family. that has been prominent in Charleston since the very beginning. And he tells some stories that you can't believe. He is just flat out a hoot. Hoon Calhoun has got it going on. In fact, they ought to make a movie about Hoon Calhoun. So I was so lucky I got on his tour. You know, he doesn't always do them, but he gives the greatest historical commentary on Charleston. He knows so many, you know, little stories and facts about this gate and what happened in that house and everything. Oh, it is so cool. Now, but Savannah's was equally good, but different. Mm. It was a lot more earthy. You know, it kind of had a stronger Scottish influence, and just more basic, but really good. More restaurants, 8 restaurants on this particular tour. We ended up, our last place was one of the most famous cupcake places in the United States called Maybell's Cupcake Emporium. I mean, she's won so many awards, it isn't funny. And the movies that have been produced in Savannah, I mean, the actors and all the movie personnel, they just completely, I mean, Mabel is she keeps them all together. Wow. But it was fabulous. But we ended at the Savannah Bee Company. And this is also an award-winning store where you can buy everything the bee makes, from honey to candles to lip gloss, bees. I mean, anything that a bee can do in byproducts, it's there. And we got to taste all kinds of different honey, with different flavors, rose honey, orange honey. I mean, all kinds of honeys. So you got to do that. And then, you know, of course, they want you to buy things great bee products, you know. I mean, so I really love both tours. I thought they were both just really good. Verdict, still think our cuisine is a little bit more. Well, ours is just so many layers and just, you know, we do it in a way down here that I guess I'm just spoiled. Yeah. That's all it is to it. But the food was fabulous. So if you're in Savannah, that tour is called the Savannah Taste Experience. And if you're in Charleston, that tour is called the Charleston Culinary Tours. And like I said, ask for Hoon Calhoun's tour. I mean, he'll entertain you like you won't believe it. So, okay. Then my next food tour is, I did one in Venice. And I decided to do that because in my research about Venice, I'd only been to Venice 2 other times. One when I was a student and another time with my husband, about 30 years ago. So, you know, when I was with him, we did everything fancy. When I was at college, I don't remember any of that. I'm sure it was just full of pizza and anything cheap, you know. So, but this time, when I was doing the research, I kept reading that Venice had such bad food, that it was one of the worst places in the world to eat because the food was typically expensive, poor quality, and they didn't care because most of the people who came to Venice were tourists. They'd never come back, so they didn't have to satisfy people. So, you know, they would go out of business. And so I thought, well, food tour is one of the ways that you can figure out where to eat or what's good to eat. And that really, this is a good suggestion for anybody who's listening. If you want to go to Venice, go on a food tour and do it first thing. Now, I did it like at the very end, which was a problem because I did end up with one of the worst meals I've ever had in my entire life anywhere traveling. I had a disgusting pizza. Now, how can pizza be messed up? But this was terrible. I mean, it was so bad, and I was trying to eat it, and I looked at 2 ladies sitting kind of across from me, and they were eating pizza, and they weren't eating it either. And I finally said, do you speak English? That's what I said. And they said, oh, yeah, we're from California. I said, do you think this pizza is as bad as I do? They wanted to say, this is so bad. And let me tell you, it was in a beautiful restaurant near the Rialto Bridge. I mean, that's why I went in there. I thought, oh, well, this is nice. I'll sit outside. I'll watch the Vaporetto and the gondoliers. And, you know, and then I'll walk back to my hotel. Oh, that, I couldn't believe it. So the food tour that I ended up taking several days after that really got me to understand how to navigate Venice in terms of eating. Hmm. Now, I must say, I did, the first day I was there, and I had researched this. There's a fabulous one-star Michelin restaurant on St. Mark's Square, and that was a fabulous experience. But everything else was kind of hit and miss. So on the food tour, basically, well, in my research, I saw there were two food tours. One was by the Walks of Italy, and that was just basic food, Venice food tour. And then there was a new one called Venice Bites Tour off the Eaton Path. And this was the one, actually, that my concierge recommended because he felt like you got a lot more for your money. And it had won a TripAdvisor award as the best tour. And, you know, he just really was high on it. He said at least six stops at the neighborhood eateries, five glasses of wine or Prosecco. I mean, they were generous in what you were going to get. On this particular tour, we went to a trattoria, an osteria, a barraco, I think I'm saying all these right, and we learned that these recipes, some of them were as old as 500 years old. They were still eating the same kind of food. And like I said, it's one of the reasons why, because they had very limited ingredients. So, you know, and they had to make everything fresh daily. Venice is such a strange place with the water and everything that, you know, it really did affect the cuisine. So this particular tour started near that famous Rialto Bridge, and that bridge is just so iconic. I mean, just every time you see it, whether you're in a boat or a gondola, Vaporetto, whatever, and in fact, I have an oil painting of it in my master bedroom. I just love the way that bridge looks. It's just so, there's something about it. Well, the tour starts right at the bottom of this bridge at Campo San Giacometto Square. Well, that place is kind of, it's so old. It supposedly had the oldest clock in Venice, and we had to learn about the clock or whatever. But even just starting there was kind of the right place to start. Then we went through the fish market. Now, I took the tour in the evening, so the people weren't there, but we could see just everything, and that this fish market had been here so long ago, for so many centuries, and it's still one of the heart of Venice. I mean, it starts early, like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, and you know, all the restaurateurs and the people come and get their fresh stuff and they prepare it, and by, you know, 4:30 or 5 it's cleaned up and it's spick and span. And I mean, they've been doing this for centuries. You know, that's the rhythm of really Venice, and it's cool to walk in those steps and see that. Then we took what's called a traghetto. I think I'm saying this right. But we took a gondola across the Grand Canal that you stand up. And there are two people. You don't have to stand up, but typically it's you stand up because they try to get a lot of people in there. And there are two people that, you know, a lot of times there are two gondola drivers on it. But you know, I had tried to take a traghetto the whole time because usually it was a gondola or, you know, the water taxis that I took. So I got to do traghetto on this tour. But we went to the neighborhood of Canareggio. Now, Canareggio is where the Jewish quarter was. And actually, we learned that this is the oldest Jewish quarter in Europe, supposedly. And this is an area of Venice that people who are Venetians still live in. Because one of the sad things that have happened to Venice is a lot of very wealthy people all over the world have bought palazzos there and bought real estate there. They don't live there. They don't fix it up. And it's just empty and unfortunately deteriorating. Hmm. But and it's very expensive. But now, Cannaregio is still a real neighborhood where the Venetians live and eat out at night and just live the Venetian life. So we started out at a barraco, which is these are very small restaurants, okay? And typically you can stand up, and you can stand up either outside or in it. It's kind of like a bar, but not totally. There are some places where you can sit in it, but this is where you get good, cheap, like small plate food. And what we had there was like a fried meatball. This meatball was like, oh golly, the talk of the town. I mean, these fried meatballs by this older Italian woman. She everybody loved her meatballs. So we got to have a meatball, and then I forgot we had a choice, I think, of a spritz or Prosecco. And I tried the spritz because, you know, that's different than just plain Prosecco. And it was good. It was all good. Then we went to two osterias where we focused on what's called cicchetti. And cicchetti is a small little piece of bread that, like an appetizer toast or something, that they put spreads on, and lots of them are fish oriented spreads with great spices or olives, and they're made fresh daily, and people eat them all during the day. They'll come if they kind of have the dropsies at 10 o'clock before lunch, they'll just go real quick to an osteria or a barraco and pick up a cicchetti and take one and, you know, quick whatever they want to drink, and they're back out working. Because in Venice, if people stay up late. I mean, I'm telling you, you still see people up and around at 12. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's not dangerous. I found it not dangerous at all. I walked easily 11:30 at night. I just loved it, you know, in Cannaregio, because that's actually where my hotel was. So we went to these two places. We met the owners, and, you know, we had a couple of glasses of wine. And like the tour said, that wine flows freely, and on that tour it did. So that was really, you know, I got to understand that, you know, this is how the Venetians eat. Then we went to a restaurant that we ate some kind of a rice dish, not a pasta dish. And they eat a lot of risotto there, more so than pasta. Mm. And that was good. Then we ended up, for the main course, we ended up at a trattoria called Storica or whatever, Storica. Oh, that meal was great. We had salad, chiani, a pasta dish, a meat dish, a strolling accordion musician, mm-hmm, outside, candlelight. I mean, we stayed there, I think, about an hour and a half. I mean, it was so relaxing, and it felt so Venetian, so real. You know what I'm saying? I just thoroughly liked it. And then the tour ended at the best gelato place. And let me tell you something. In Venice, they eat gelato every day. They have great gelato in Venice. I mean, it's a real of gelato scene. But we went to Galateria Cador. And it supposedly has the best gelato in Venice. Fabulous. So this tour, I must say, I was stuffed to the gill, and I was slightly tipsy. But it was fantastic. And I tell you, I should have taken this tour the second day because if I would have, I would have known where to go, because it's a young couple that actually moved from California there, and they've been there now for like 4 years, and they just kind of, they had to make or break it here. And let me tell you, they have put their heart and soul in this tour, and they have scoured out all these cool, really local places. And they can direct you where to eat anywhere in Venice. So if I would have gone there at the very beginning, I could have probably avoided
that pizza.
Oh, God, that pizza, I'll never forget it. Okay, and I'm going to end with the food tour that, oh, my God, this food tour was just fabulous. This was the tour that I took in Marrakesh. And the structure of this particular tour was a basic progressive meal. And I had, before I went to Marrakesh, I did done some research, and I had seen that TripAdvisor recommended this particular Marrakesh food tour that was put on by, it's called the Maroc Mama. And it basically, it talked about, it was an American woman who had ended up meeting a Moroccan gentleman. They married, well, fell in love and married, and he wanted to move back to Marrakesh. So she did it. And so when she got there, I mean, she knew that she had to reorient her whole way of thinking, everything. So his mother and grandmother really took her in, bonded with her, and taught her how to cook, taught her about the culture, and really has basically just helped her develop what she is now developing. And I want to share this with you. She always loved cooking. That was something that she had loved since a child. So and she liked culture too. She's done a lot of traveling. Well, after living in Marrakesh several years, and she got the idea of the food tour, and once she did, she thought, well, I have to develop a website to advertise this food tour. So she's developed a website called Maroc Mama, a fearless guide to food and travel. This is a wonderful website about food, food tours, culinary tourism. I mean, she gives great information. First of all, on the website, you get a lot of good information about Marrakesh, the souks, the riads, the hotels, all the different restaurants. She also has a list of the best food tours in the world. She has an extensive list of all the different food tours and which ones she thinks are the best and why. I mean, it is fabulous. For people who are really, for foodies and people who want to take food tours, this is a great go-to research. Maroc, M-A-R-C-O. M-A-M-A, MarocMama.com.
I can put a link in this show notes and onto the website there, too.
Please do. Please do. And then now she even has a cookbook, My Moroccan Kitchen. But she shared on this website, and I'm going to share this with you just real quickly because I think this, you know, is important to know to whether you want to take a particular food tour or what's really a quality food tour. But she says that there are 8 components of a great food tour. So here are 8 components. First of all, the food should be items you couldn't find on your own, that they're unique and unfamiliar. Basically, something that's new to you in terms of food. This is very important because, you know, you could go to New York and have pizza, or Italy and have pizza, or China and have pizza. I mean, you know about pizza. But the food tour should introduce you to things that typically are unique or unfamiliar to you when it comes to food. Secondly, plenty of local eating restaurants where the locals eat. You don't want to go anywhere where it's touristy or anywhere that is too hyped up or anything like that. This is where the locals eat, where the real food is, okay? Third, and the tour should focus on food. I mean, you should learn what you're eating, how it's prepared, all the different techniques, why it's important to the location and the culture. You know, there are a lot of the food tours that talk to you a lot about what you're seeing, blah, blah. But this, you should really learn about the food. And she's right, okay? That's what made the two tours in Savannah so good. And hers fabulous. Number four, variety of foods should be offered. You should really get a cross-section of a lot of different types of food. The more variety, the better. The cost should be representative of the experience and the food provided. Just because it's a food tour and it's unique, it doesn't have to be real expensive. But if they're expensive ingredients, then it needs to be expensive. But if it's, you know, more basic, then it doesn't have to be that expensive. So it should be in balance, okay? Six, the guide is knowledgeable and approachable and friendly. Very important. I mean, you have to be able to understand them, first of all. You know, I'm from America, so I have to have it in English. And Yosef spoke great English, her husband. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, you have to, the guide has to be good. And like I talked about Hoon Calhoun. I mean, let me tell you something. Those guys can really make it a notch or two up. So, and can bring it down. I must say, I mean, I enjoyed my food tour in Bangkok, but I couldn't understand a lot of stuff. Mm. I kept asking questions, and the food was so exotic and everything. And then by the time I got to Hanoi, oh, I could hardly understand anything. So I was just eating. I mean, it was still worth it. Okay. And then she says, number seven, at least one stop should include something substantial, not just small plates at every stop. She really believes that there should be one, like, coup de grace, or I mean, just one really good stop. All should be good, but there's one something really substantial that just really hits it home. And last, never walk away hungry. Well, let me tell you, I've never walked away hungry from the food tours because really, usually by about the third, maybe fourth stop, I'm like, oh, God, I don't know if I can do this. So those are her tips for what makes a good food tour. Now, the Marrakesh food tour basically is offered daily for lunch and dinner, except on Friday. You have to know this, in the Muslim countries, Friday at lunch, everybody, you know, especially in Morocco, they all go eat couscous. This is a big tradition, is to get together with your family and friends on Friday and eat couscous, okay? So I got lucky, and I took the Friday dinner tour. So I got to get some of this great couscous, but I couldn't have done it if I did it at lunch, okay? And our particular tour started at 6 o'clock. We met right there at the famous post office at the Jamia El Fina Square. I can never pronounce that right. But it was right at the Medina in front of all of the souks and everything. And I'm telling you, everybody should travel to Marrakesh one time in their life and just go there. The life on this square, especially as the sun's going down and the musicians and the performers and the street food people are out there, and you hear the call to prayer and all the sights and sounds and smells and the vendor. I mean, there's so much life on the square. I mean, I took some fabulous photos and videos. It is just, I could sit out there for hours, just sit there. It was great. So this is where this food tour starts. Mm. So we start and we wander through and watch these performers and this great music and these snake charmers and all of this going on. And then we end up getting to the main souks. And this is where you have the markets and the shops and everything. And it's just a maze of little lanes and shops, and you'll never find your way out unless you look up and look for daylight. I mean, this is something else. Well, we go into here. In the first place, we go to the olive market. There's so many olives, you can't believe it. Well, we get to taste all these different olives and learn about this olive and that olive and everything else. Wonderful. And I don't really like olives. I love black olives, but green olives, I don't. But we got to taste all kinds of olives that were really prepared in different ways. I mean, you could do a whole food tour really on olives if you know, somebody would want to do it. And who would have thought?
Yeah.
Then we go to the spice market area. That is just, you know, not being a cook, I've never been. These are spices, all these colors, vibrant colors that are spices. And they would open them up and you get to smell them. They were like so fragrant, like perfume. I mean, high, high quality spices. And you could buy the olives or the spices or whatever. But we got information about the spices and how, you know, they go and buy them and, you know, where they come from and all that kind of stuff and how you weigh them and everything. After that, we went deeper into the Medina and the souk, and we went to a restaurant that prepares tangia. Now, don't confuse tangia with tangine, and they're two different things. But tangia is a fabulous dish that Moroccans like to eat a lot. You know, they really love it. It's a lamb dish. They eat a lot of lamb in Morocco, okay? What they do is they cut up, you know, lamb meat. It's a small terracotta vessel. It's not the one that looks like it has the tent on the top. It's like a vase. So, you know, a certain vase-looking shape. But they put the meat in there. Then they put onions. They put garlic. They put whatever spices they want in it. And they could put, you know, some vegetables or whatever. They seal it up with kind of like a wax-like thing on the top. And then they put it in an underground oven. They put a little water in an underground oven, and they let it cook in its own juices for 4 to 6 hours. I'm telling you. So they showed us how they prepared it. You know, we got to talk, and this was a great, great tangia restaurant. This was one of the best. I mean, everybody knows these people, these brothers or who owned it. So then we went upstairs and we got to sit outside, but we had a tent-like roof over it, watch the Medina, and eat this fabulous tangia with this wonderful oven-baked pocket-like bread. It wasn't pocket, but it's kind of like a saucer of bread. I don't know what you call it. But, oh, I mean, that was enough. I was ready. This is great. I don't have to eat anything else. This is so good. It's unbelievable. So we learned about tangia. That was the first thing. Great. I was prepared. They showed us, actually. We got to eat it. It was wonderful, okay? Then the next thing, we toured the bread ovens. Now, let me tell you, these ovens are very historic in Marrakesh. They're in every neighborhood, and you go underground. And when I'm telling you go underground, you feel like you're going into salt mines or something. They're pretty, you go down a steep incline that's very narrow into this area where these ovens are. And to fuel the ovens, they put everything from leather to wood to anything that is a byproduct of something somebody's made or whatever. They keep these ovens fired up continuously. They never shut them down. Never. Okay? And this even boils some of the water that they use to bathe with. It's all in their plumbing system. I mean, these ovens, these underground ovens, or the heart and soul of Marrakesh, keeping it going, okay? Well, we got to see the ovens, and then we got to go into the places, the rooms, where the ladies make the dough for the bread, and where they take, you know, the the hefe, or, you know, the yeast, and how it's been done for just centuries, the same thing, and they make it every day. So they sit there. We saw them sitting there. They were still making these things at night. So we got to see them. We got to see the ovens. We got to see how they put this in the oven, and it comes out. Oh, and this bread is just, here again, you could live off the bread. It's so good. So that was the next thing. Then we had tangine. Now, tangine I had had before. I took this tour like about the third day I was in Marrakesh. But tangine, you've seen, or a lot of people who know anything about Morocco or this kind of food that they do, but it's kind of like a cone-shaped terracotta top on this bowl, and what they do is a chicken or lamb or beef or anything with onions and some vegetables, could be potatoes in it or whatever, as spices, they put in there with a little juice, and then they put it in an oven. But it's not cooked like the tangia. It's a little bit quicker. They have a hole that comes up. Tangia, there's no air that gets in it. I mean, the meat just falls off the bowl. But this is really good. I had a chicken tangine with some French fries and a salad at an artisan place that I had gone to. It was just delicious. So we got to experience a tangine, how they cook it, how it's different than tangia, and it's a very, very classic Moroccan dish that they eat likewise all the time. Okay? So, and in most every stop that we usually had mint tea, because, oh my God, you drink so much mint tea when you get to Morocco. Mint can grow out of your ears. But, you know, or you can have soft drink of water because it's a Muslim country, so there's no alcohol on this tour. Okay, then after that, we went to the vegetable market, the fruit market, and I mean, you can't believe how many desert-like fruits that they have here that I had never seen. Next place was one with kebabs. They love kebabs there, big into kebabs. Delicious. I mean, delicious. I think we had pineapple in ours, which I would have thought they would have never done that in Morocco. But it was really good. At this point, I was getting really full. Yeah. I mean, like, really full. But then we came to the main or the substantive stop of the tour, going to the couscous restaurant. Now, this restaurant where we went to is called Naima's. N-A-I-M-A. This is the best small, and when I tell you small, it probably only has four tables, couscous restaurant in the entire Medina. I mean, it's got rave reviews by TripAdvisor. I mean, this grandmother, her daughter, and her granddaughter, they're the owners and the cooks, and they've been cooking couscous. They cook couscous every day. I mean, it is absolutely fabulous. Well, what you do when you eat couscous is you sit down, and it's a communal dish. It's this big, big dish that has this wheat dish. It has wheat, kind of like a crack-boiled, you know, wheat, and raisins, vegetables. Could have meat in it. Ours didn't. Onions, very seasoned, cooked for a long time. Everybody, there's a big communal spoon. You dip it out. You have the bread. And it's really like, it's really a communal eating. It's a way to socialize and to really, it's kind of spiritual, to tell you the truth. It's like, it's so basic to their whole culture that it's like you got to eat couscous every Friday. It's kind of like, you know, this is what keeps us going. This is a sacred thing. This week, you know, we're going to catch up with what happened in your life this week. And this, we're going to just celebrate life. And they do it over couscous. We had so much fun at this place. It was wonderful, and the dish was so beautiful, and the place, even though it was so small, it was so authentic with those beautiful cutout Moroccan lights, and the ladies in the kitchen, they were just like, I mean, they were just nothing but smiles, you know. It was wonderful. And so then the tour ended after that at this Moroccan pastry and cookie shop. Well, let me tell you, the Moroccans make fabulous cookies. They're not really that sweet. They're kind of like a shortbread, but they put different spices in them. And then, of course, you have either real strong coffee or tea with them. And also at this shop, they had smoothies, really great smoothies. Oh, yeah. They have a lot of really good fruit drinks. I mean, I know at my Riyadh, every day we had the freshest orange juice. I don't know. These oranges just taste, and I was thinking, the desert? I mean, where are they getting this? You know, but completely stuffed. I mean, completely stuffed, but really, it was absolutely first class from the beginning to the end. Just really made me love Morocco more than I did already, and I could feel the heart and soul that these two people were sharing about Morocco, about food, who they were as people. I mean, I loved this tour. So I highly recommend you go to her website if you're interested in food tours. So what I'll do, I'll end with a couple of food tour tips, my tips. First of all, don't eat much during the day you take the food tour. Because you won't be able to make it to the end. Mm. I mean, try to go in there starving. I'm serious. It might be hard, but just, you know, try to do that because it's a lot of food. I'm serious. Even though you walk, it's still a lot of food. Go at the beginning of your trip. You know, really try to do that, especially if you're into eating and food. This will help you from making a lot of mistakes. Just remember my Venice pizza story. That pizza was absolutely, it was almost criminal. It was so bad. So, okay. Then dinner. I really like the dinner tours more than I do the lunch tours because they're a little bit more celebratory oriented. Hmm. The lunch tour is a little more like, oh, professional, and, you know, we're going to get through this, and it's going to be fun, and the food's going to be good. But the dinner, everybody's more laid back. The time is a little looser, and I seem to prefer the dinner ones. Then do your pre-trip research, you know, Google and also YouTube. In fact, I decided on the Moroc Mama food tour because of one of the YouTubes. But do the pre-trip research. Know which ones the TripAdvisor recommends, if they've won any awards, if they've been, you know, cited for something good. Because, you know, there are more and more out there, and you want to take a good one versus a mediocre one. Then check Moroc Mama's website for tour recommendations. Before you leave, see if she's got a recommendation about a tour with where you're going. Next is be open-minded. Just try everything. I mean, a lot of people just go, oh, no, I can't eat that. I mean, I know, I don't want to say when we were in Bangkok, the guy asked us if you eat eyeballs. I know it wasn't eyeballs, but it was something. But before the tour, he's asked us now, we're going to go somewhere, and I can't remember what it was. It's probably so weird I can't remember it. But he said, if you don't want to try, let me know, because I will substitute something else for you. But I said, no, I'm going to do it. If, you know, I've got to try everything. Now, I might not, I mean, I might say no to something, but so far I haven't. So be open-minded. Then also, if you have food allergies or, you know, there's foods that you can or won't eat, let the tour know it before because they're very flexible. They'll accommodate you. Don't let that, what I'm saying, stop you from taking a food tour. And on your next solo adventure, consider taking a food tour. especially if you're limited amount in your amount of time in a place, because it really is a great way to experience the culture, to give you a snapshot of the food. And especially if you're fast travel and you only have a couple of days, you know, instead of in the evening go to one restaurant, take an evening food tour.
Yeah.
So I can't say enough about them. There, you learn a lot. You meet a lot of great people. And let me tell you, be sure you go hungry, because you're not going to need to eat the next day. So that's it.
If all this food tour talk doesn't make you want to pack your bags, I just don't know what will, my goodness. And if you, before you start packing, you better get Astrid's packing list. It's amazing. It's complimentary. It's available right there on astridtravel.com. Go ahead, go over there, download the packing list. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. And we're making a special request. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a review on one of those platforms. 5 stars just happens to be our favorite number, by the way.
Definitely.
Yeah. Like I said, we'll have all those links in the show notes and on Astrid's website, astridtravel.com, so that you don't have to, you can be assured that you'll be able to find out all these places that we've been talking about on this show. We thank you so much for listening. We're sorry to leave you so hungry. I'm sure everybody's so hungry after hearing this show.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, food tours are great.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, thank you so much for listening. We look forward to seeing you next week on Solo Travel Talk.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or solo travel advisors, visit our website, astridtravel.com.